This is the second of the three lectures on measurement, and this lecture will deal with validity and reliability. And sometimes you'll also see the terms accuracy and precision used, but I'll try to stick with validity and reliability. So validity is a measure of rightness, and reliability is a measure of exactness. And we'll go a little deeper into that. Here's an example of two bullseyes, and you'll see how, in this case, they're clustered together, but not really on the bullseye. And in this case, they're spread all around the bullseye, but they aren't all in one area like the above example. So which is validity and which is reliability? Well, this is also another way of reading it. So it has high precision but low accuracy. So it's reliable but not valid. So it's clustered together, so it's reliable, but it's not close to the bullseye, so it's not valid. And in this example, we have a high validity. It's close to the bullseye. It's around it. And if you averaged them all together, you might end up somewhere in the center, but it's not reliable because they're spread. Okay, they aren't clustered together. And you want to think about this when you're dealing with both clinical readings as well as data for research. So if you're looking at darts, another way to look at it, just in words, is so if it's randomly spread far from the bullseye, then it's not valid and it's not reliable. Okay? If it's clustered and it's an upper left-hand corner, then it's not valid, but it is reliable because it's clustered. And if it's scattered around the bullseye, then it is valid, but it's not reliable. And again, you're catching the idea. If it's clustered and it's inside the bullseye, then it's valid and reliable. So let's look a little closer at reliability. Reliability of a measure is an inverse function of the measurement's error. So obviously, if there's more error, it's not as reliable. Okay? And reliability measure provide consistent measurements from occasion to occasion. So that means over time and by different people and by even yourself, you can get a reliable measure, means to be consistent. So how close are the repeated measurements of the same quality to each other? That's a measure of reliability. So remember, everything, there is going to get an error when you take it from time to time. And we see SD, or standard deviation, is a measure of this precision, of how much variation there is in the measurements. And measurements are precise if there is very little spread around the average value. So reliability of clinical measures, there's two major sources of error. Biological variation, and that can result over time or just biological variation among people, and then analytical variation, which is a measurement technique. So how you take the blood pressure, how good is your hearing compared to the next person, or where you place the cuff and the stethoscope if you're measuring blood pressure. Okay, let's look at validity. The performance on average is close to the true value to be determined. So you're looking at the true value, and how do you determine the true value? Well, there's something called the gold standard, which is criterion related. We'll talk a little bit about that later. And there's also something called a reference value, which is determined by a panel of experts or by consensus. And then there's the truth, which is usually very hard to come by. The relationship between what a test is supposed to measure and what it actually does measure is another definition of validity. So estimating the validity of a measure. A good measure must not only be reliable, but it must be valid. So you have to have both reliability and validity. A valid measure measures what it is intended to measure. It measures the truth. And validity is not a property of a measure, but an indication of the extent to which an assessment measures a particular construct in a particular context. Okay? Thus, a measure may be valid for one purpose, but not for another purpose. So it depends what you're measuring and what you think that measure indicates as the truth. And we'll talk a little more about those types of constructs later. And a measure cannot be valid unless it is reliable, but a reliable measure may not be valid. So it could be clustered and be reliable, but it's not measuring the bullseye, so it's not valid. So estimating validity, like reliability, validity is not absolute. Validity is the degree to which a variable or variability, individual differences in participant scores on a particular measure reflect individual differences in the characteristics of a construct. Okay, so we'll look at these three types of constructs, face validity, construct validity, and criterion validity. So just remember that validity, the truth, is usually hard to come by, and measures are usually an approximation for the truth. Just as an examination or a test you have in a course, oftentimes you may agree, doesn't really measure how much you know on the subject. Okay, first is face validity. It's probably the weakest type of validity. Face validity refers to the extent to which a measure appears to measure what it's supposed to measure. It's not statistical. It just involves judgment. If you make a survey instrument, you may send it around to some other experts to see if they agree or want to change it, and they go ahead and change it, and that's called face validity. A measure has face validity if people think it does. So you're just taking the word of other people or experts. Just because a measure has face validity does not ensure that it is a valid measure. Okay. Second, we have construct validity. And most scientific investigations, particularly psychological or social ones, involve hypothetical constructs, entities that cannot be directly observed but are inferred from the empirical evidence. So like we can't directly measure intelligence, but we'll make tests, SATs, IQ tests, and then we'll infer intelligence from that. Construct validity is assessed by studying relationship between the measure of a construct and the scores on the measure of another construct. So you have one construct that you may say is true, and then you create a new method, and then you compare the two. And often, as I said, they're for psychological constructs. So here's an example. We have cognitive ability here, and we have amount of education, and these are independent variables, and we want to see how does that relate to job performance. Well, it's very hard to measure cognitive ability because it's hard to test, but we can figure out how much education somebody had. So what you do is you use amount of education as the measure and predictor of job performance, but you're saying that it relates back to general cognitive ability. The third based on validity is criterion validity. And these are important to think of when you're reading research papers, you know, what the measure that they're taking, how is it constructed, and how does it relate to the truth that they're trying to get at. This refers to the extent to which a measure distinguishes participants on the basis of a particular behavioral criterion. For instance, scores of the driving test by a simulation is the predictor variable, while scores of a road test is the criterion variable. So you've created this simulator for driving, but you're going to compare it to an actual road test for driving. So it's hypothesized that if the tester passes the simulation test, she should also meet the criterion of being a safe driver. In other words, if the simulation test scores could predict the road test scores in a regression model, the simulation test is claimed to have a high degree of criterion validity. So you're using this new simulator to test how good a driver they're going to be, but you've already correlated to a known existing test, which is an actual road test. And here you see its correlation. We'll talk more about correlations, but this is a positive correlation between the road test, which is the criterion, and the simulator test, which is the predictor. And then your book also deals with these different methods for assessing reliability: test, retest reliability, inter-rater reliability, and internal consistency. So make sure you understand those. So test, retest reliability refers to the consistency of a participant's responses over time. Okay? So you can keep retaking it and get the same response. It assumes that the characteristic being measured is stable over time and is not expected to change between test and retest. Inter-rater reliability. If a measurement involves behavioral ratings by an observer, we would expect consistency among raters for a reliable measure. So this is between different raters, and this is even problematic in dentistry for different dentists recognizing what is caries or not in a diagnosis. And this is our problem in medicine. It's best to use at least two independent raters, okay, and blind the raters so they don't know what the other rater has given as the test result. And also, remember back to our operational definitions, you have to define the criteria of how they're doing the test very clearly, and they have to be trained, the observers or the raters have to be trained, and then you standardize them. And internal consistency, reliability. So it's relevant for measures that consist of more than one item, so the total scores on a scale, or when several behavioral observations are used in a single score. So an internal consistency, reliability, and examination is you should perform the same or generally the same on test questions on the same topic within an exam. Okay? So within an exam, you should, sure, you're going to miss an occasional one, but generally you should perform consistently. So this is all so-called inter-item reliability, and you'll see that in some of the exam comes back, we look to make sure that there's inter-item reliability on an exam.